I want to share this with you. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to preach to me. You just get to listen. Amen. I need help this morning. I came to church because I need the Lord. I didn't come for you. I came for Him. And I'm kind of different. I need help. I need Him. And I come to church because I love Him and I want to serve Him and I want to worship Him and I want to give Him the glory due unto His name. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Psalms chapter 92. Psalms chapter 92. This is your Sunday school hour or whatever, and I'm going to teach and preach this thought that the Lord put on my mind this morning. And I hope it's a blessing to your heart as it is going to hopefully be to mine because I need it. Amen. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Can I say this real quickly before we get into Psalms 92? If you focus on your sin, you'll miss the Savior. If you focus on your faults, you'll miss the Father. If you focus on your situation, you'll miss the Spirit of God. Now let that soak in. Told your preacher this, I think yesterday, might have been the day before, that we as Baptists are guilty of not preaching and teaching on the Holy Ghost of God. Who He is, what He's done, and what His job is, and He's still part of the Godhead. Amen? There's still three parts of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And we still have an amazing Spirit of God that, number one, I've been sealed with. Number two, He leads and guides me into all truth. Amen? But I also have the Son of God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? And He is the living Word of God. I have the written Word, and He is the living Word. Amen? And they don't contradict each other. Amen? And His job is to open my understanding to the written Word. The living Word opens our understanding to the written Word. You know why lost people can't understand this? It's because they don't have the living Word in them. The living Word is the one who opens your understanding to the Scriptures. I was in court one day and we were dealing with an issue, and as the little prosecuting attorney, little snot-nosed thing, and he kept misquoting the Bible. At this particular time, I was in court testifying against a drug dealer. He was a child molester and a drug dealer and a murderer, and I was in court testifying against him. And his attorney was trying to twist my words, and so he was using the Bible and misusing the Bible. And I finally looked at him and I said, "Listen, when's the last time you read that passage?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well, that's not." I said, "Yes, it is relevant." I said, "You're taking it out of context. Right. You're grabbing a phrase and you're trying to tell me that it means something that it doesn't mean, because that's what you think it means, because you're a lost person without God in you and no hope in you." Amen. And then I began to give him salvation. Amen. Right from the witness stand. Amen. And the attorney that I had that was representing the other party who called me as a witness, he actually came up and started asking me questions about salvation. Amen. And allowed me to preach to the whole courtroom. I was on the stand for about 4 hours one day and 4 hours another day. And 2 days in a row, about 4 hours, 4.5 hours, total about 9 hours, I think I was on the stand total. And but listen, the world doesn't understand our Bible. Amen. It's not for them. Salvation is for them. The gospel is for them. The rest of this is for you and me. And so as we read in the Word of God this morning, let it be a help to you. And I'll give you a couple of thoughts and then I'll be done in this next 15 to 45 minutes that I have. Amen. Thank you, preacher. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. What kind of thing is it?
Good.
To do what?
Give
to give thanks unto who?
The Lord.
How come we don't do that more?
Yeah.
How come we don't come to the house of God? Hallelujah, I'm going to the Lord's house.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to give praise. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to thank God for who He is and what He's done. Why do we come to the house of God looking like a mule that's been eating oats out of a stovepipe? Our faces are so long and we don't know what in the world's going on. How come we've got such a problem when we come to the house? I'll tell you why. Because the devil knows that if he can get you in a fuss on the way here, you got your mind off God, you got your mind off what God's wanting to do for you, and you won't get the help you need, and you won't get the strength you need to go out there and fight the world and the devil for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
He's good at his game.
Yeah.
We're not so good. The Bible tells us we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, and we're not. But sometimes we don't think about them. He is real. Hey, how many of you come to church on the way to church, the kids get in a fight? So I didn't look at anybody when I said that. Amen. But the kids got in a fight. Don't make me come back there. Don't make me pull this car over. Amen. And by the time you get to church, you're all messed up. Amen. You get up in the morning, you turn the TV on, and the news comes on, and somebody says something bad and has happened, and this has happened, and somebody was shot here, and somebody was killed there. And before you know it, your spirits, the life and spirit in you sucked out, and you don't have any joy. And you go to the house of God thinking, man, we're in a bad place. This world's in a mess, and what are we going to do? And we get our mind on everything but the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. You know why we come to the house of the Lord this morning? To give him thanks and to sing praises. Amen. That's why the brother said, when you sing this song, sing like you're saved. Amen. Sing like you mean it. Open up. You say, well, I don't sing so well. Then just sing by letter. Amen. You know what that is? Open up and let her fly. Amen. Sing like you're home in the shower and ain't nobody around. Amen. Sing like you pulled up to a red light and all your windows are up. Amen. Just go ahead and sing. You and I need to learn. You say, well, my voice ain't so good. I don't care. Hey, I grew up believing I was tone deaf. I started leading singing when I was 12 years old in church. And I learned how to sing by listening to my tone deaf father. Okay. Amen. And so I'm up here singing Amazing Grace off key. But I didn't care. I sang anyway because I found out about the amazing grace of God. And I didn't care if I was on key or off key. I was singing about the amazing grace of God. And if you've got over amazing grace, something's wrong with you. Amen. I don't ever want to get over his amazing grace. It is still amazing. And no matter how much you sing that song, it should not get old. It should not get dry. It should not get tiring. It should be a rejoicing in your soul when you think about the amazing grace of God. I deserve hell and I ain't going.
Amen. Amen.
I deserve hell, but I'm not going. That's the amazing grace of God. Does that not do anything for your soul? You need to understand, hey, how long has it been since you read your Bible and looked about what hell was all about? Lord God, I ain't going.
Amen.
And you can't make me. I've had a few people tell me to go there. Amen. I've looked them square in the eye and say, sorry, can't do it. They just get madder by the minute. I don't care. And I get a chance to tell them why I can't go. You can tell me to go all you want to. I can't go. I cannot. It is impossible for me to go. Now I get to tell them why. Because I met Jesus. Because I found his amazing grace. You're right. I deserve hell, sir. I should go to hell, sir. You're right. But I can't. I can't go. And you can't make me. Amen. You and I need to get excited about what we have in the Lord. Hey, if nothing else, listen to me. And I know God does so much for us. But if he did nothing else for us but save our souls and give us a home in heaven, that is so much more than we deserve. Amen. I'm going to heaven and you can't stop me. Amen. I ain't going to hell and you can't make me. And I'm going to heaven and you can't stop me. There's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven on their own merit and their own idea and their own philosophy. I found Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going and you can't stop me.
Amen.
You ought to get excited about the fact that you're eternally secure in Jesus.
Amen.
You ought to get excited. So I don't know what that means. Well, then sit down with your pastor. He'll explain it to you.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm eternally secure in Christ Jesus. I cannot go to hell.
Right.
And I am going to heaven. And when he comes in the clouds, he will find me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Going with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. When he comes, when he really comes, when he truly comes, he will find me if he finds nobody else.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
How about the rest of you?
Amen.
Anybody going? Hey, aren't you glad heaven's next?
Yeah.
Can I give you this thought this morning for just a moment? I am not going to preach what I thought I was going to. There's a whole message in here on the 10-stringed instrument I wanted to get to. We're not going to get to the 10-stringed instrument, amen? But I'll share maybe a thought with you before we close. I'm watching the clock. Try to be kind. It's not easy for this preacher, amen? My church, when I pastored in West Virginia, they took the clock completely down. And they put a calendar up there. So I know this is not an endurance contest because you will lose. Amen. My wife and I went to Ghana, Africa. We were over there. A bunch of doctors and nurses went over there, and they were planning this trip for 18 months. We found out about it in December, was leaving in the end of February, first of March. And so they called me in December. They had a meeting, and all the doctors and nurses and paramedics and everybody got together, and they had a meeting, and they said, you know what? We have messed up. We have messed up. We have got all these medical supplies. We've got all this stuff to take with us over there and to be set up a clinic and be a help and a blessing to these people. But we have forgotten the most important thing. If we don't take the gospel to them, we failed. Yeah, amen. They looked around and they said, anybody know a preacher that'll go? A friend of mine says, I go, fella. He's crazy enough. Amen. They called me on the phone and I said, whoa, you mean I gotta get all my shots? $1,100 worth of shots for me and for my wife. $2,200 in shots. We got to get visas. We got to get all this stuff in line and all this stuff ready to go. And all we have and raise the money. And all we have is January and February to get this done. And God did it all. And we went. Let me tell you how the services go in Ghana. You ready? So the church comes and for an hour and a half, they sing, brother. They sing for an hour and a half. Let me help you. And so after an hour and a half, they go get the pastor and his wife and me and my wife, and they bring us in and they seat us in these special chairs up front right up here. We're the honored guests, the pastor and his wife and me and my wife, and we're sitting here. And then they sing for another half an hour.
Amen.
You're catching on. I move faster if you just amen me without me using the card. You want to get to lunch? Amen. 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 First time you said amen all the time. And so then it's my turn to get up and preach, and they want me to preach a minimum of 2 hours.
Amen.
2 hours.
Amen.
And then when I'm done preaching after a minimum of two hours, they sing for another hour and a half and then go home. Amen. And that's Sunday morning.
Amen.
Then they come back and do it again.
Amen.
Some of you going, amen.
Yeah.
We think we go to church for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we've done God a favor. Amen. This is the Lord's day.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Give him glory due unto his name. Give him his day. Hey, it's the first day of the week, is it not?
Yeah, right.
He deserves the very best we have. That's why we give him the first of our time.
Right.
Before your boss gets you on Monday, God's got you on the Lord's day.
Yes,
but does he have you? Does he have you today? Are you there? Are you here? Are you here to worship him? Is your mind on him? Is your thoughts on him? Are you rejoicing in him? Are you glad to be in the Lord's house today? Are you here to rest in him and enjoy him and just say, Lord God, I'm so glad I'm saved and the rest doesn't matter.
Yep.
Amen. The amazing grace of God. Listen to me. Grace is any move God makes towards you. Grace is any move God makes towards you. Let me share this. Get your mind on this. Catch this passage. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said this. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's the God we're here to see this morning. That's the God we're here to worship this morning. The one where seraphims cover their face in his presence and cover their feet in his presence. And they cry above his throne that he's seated upon, and his train is filling the entire temple. And he's resting on his throne, and they're screaming and crying above him. And one said unto the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's who we're here to see this morning. That's amazing. Do you know the Bible says that God sits upon his throne, and the Bible says that he uses this earth as his footstool.
Amen.
Read it. This earth is his footstool. That's the God we're talking about. We're not talking about just any old God. We're not talking about Buddha.
Yeah,
amen. We're not talking about Confucius. We're not talking about Muhammad. We're talking about God.
Amen.
And he uses this earth as a footstool. And you know why God's using this earth as a footstool? He happens to look down. He goes, oh, yeah, there's a place. I see that place. It's called New Mexico.
Amen.
Don't make me get my sign. Help me.
Amen.
And in New Mexico, there's this place called Albuquerque.
Amen.
I see that little smidgen of a dot.
Amen.
Amen. And in there, I see this little church. Oh,
amen.
Whoa, a blood-bought church.
Amen.
Oh, son, look at that church. The one you died for. The one you gave your precious blood for.
Right.
Amen. Look, look down inside. Oh, look inside that church. Do you see them?
Amen.
Oh, do you see those that are ours?
Amen.
Do you see those that are ours? They're ours. And God making looking at you this morning is grace.
Amen.
You don't deserve God to even think of you. You don't deserve God to even have a thought or to look your way or to care, but he does.
Amen.
And every move God makes, here, watch, here's God sitting upon a throne and he goes, that was grace. Amen. Thinking of Brother Brad right now. That's grace. Any move God makes towards you is grace. You don't deserve any of it. But you get it.
Praise God.
Because of his amazing. There's no other word for grace but amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I've been seriously trying to figure out, do we have any more words on this planet to describe grace? And I can't come up with any. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing, 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 amazing grace. And we don't deserve any of it, but that's who we serve. Let me share this thought with you and I'll be done. Look down at verse number 1. Let's read 1, 2, and 3 again real quickly. Psalms 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Why? To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. You know why we need to be praising God? You know why we need to be thanking him? So that others can see who it is that we serve.
Yes, amen. That's good.
The world needs to know how good of a God we have.
Amen.
I don't have anything bad to tell you about my God.
That's right.
Amen. He's a good God, a loving God, a kind God, a compassionate God. That's who he is. That's who I serve. Amen. I know there's another side of him, but I understand that. But I want you to understand, to me, he's my wonderful Savior.
Amen.
I've got nothing bad to tell you about him. And the world needs to know how good he is. Listen to me. If the world doesn't know what you have, how are they going to want what you got?
Amen. Yeah.
If the world doesn't know what you have, how are they going to want what you've got? Let me help you.
Amen.
You and I need to let the world, we need to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon a psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Give you this thought and I'll be done. David said, upon an instrument of 10 strings. That one over there has 6. I researched and researched and researched for years till I finally found an instrument of 10 strings. There is an instrument of 10 strings. It's an old instrument and they're trying to revive it and bring it back, but it really probably will never catch on. It's very difficult to play and it's weird. It's peculiar. And I have some old instruments, and they are different. So one that is a box you lay down and you pluck with this hand and strum with a bow from a violin on another. I mean, I've got some weird instruments, but this 10-string instrument is very difficult, very hard to play, and it probably will never make a comeback. Some people have tried, but I don't think it ever will. But it took me years to find this instrument of 10 strings. But when I started reading this as a young boy, before there was internet, amen? Before there was an easy way to search things, I did my best to try to find an instrument of 10 strings, and I couldn't back then. And I understand now why God wouldn't let me find it, because he was giving me this principle. I want to give you a little Bible thought this morning, and then I'll close. God has given every one of us an instrument of 10 strings. And God wants you to play skillfully on your instrument of 10 strings. He wants you to glorify Him with your instrument of 10 strings. Let me give it to you. You ready? Do I have your attention?
Amen.
2 eyes to look to God, 2 ears to hear His word, 2 feet to serve the Lord, 2 hands to yield His sword, 1 heart to love His ways, 1 tongue to sing His praise. Take them, Savior, let them be always busy serving Thee.
Amen.
You have a 10-stringed instrument. Keep it in tune. It's kind of hard to come to church and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," when you've been gossiping about me all week long. It kind of sounds like this. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Don't sound too good, does it? But when your instrument is out of tune, when a string is out of tune, it doesn't sound so good, does it? You and I need to keep this instrument in tune so that when we come, we can sing and play skillfully to give God the honor and glory due unto His name.
Amen.
You got a 10-stringed instrument, play it for the Lord. Let others hear the joyful noise that comes from it.
Amen.
Listen to me, you've been bought with a price. Now, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your soul, which are His.
Amen.
2 eyes to look to God, 2 ears to hear His word, 2 feet to serve the Lord, 2 hands to yield His sword, 1 heart to love His ways, 1 tongue to sing His praise. Take them, Savior, let them be always busy serving Thee. Father, bless.